The gospel reading is written in John chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. The Gospel of the Lord. Do you want to be made well? Those words spoken by Jesus to the man lying at the pool, who had been ill for 38 years, has always puzzled me. Why would Jesus ever ask such a question? Do you want to get well? It seems almost comical. Why, yes, in my 38 years of lying here, waiting for the water to be stirred up, it has crossed my mind several times. But maybe the question isn't so comical, but a serious question. We all know that positive attitudes seem to affect our health and wellness. Does this man really want to be made well? Does he have the desire and the hope that one day he might be healed? Or has he just given up? We have a saying that you can't really help someone unless they want to be helped. So is that the situation here? Now, I have heard any number of sermons on this text that interpret this story from the standpoint of this verse, "Do you want to be healed?" Wellness is affected to a large degree by our mental attitude. Does he really want to be healed? Notice that the man doesn't respond to Jesus' question with a simple yes. Instead, he answers with an excuse. "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool of water when it is stirred." I can imagine his whining tone. "Someone always gets into the pool ahead of me." Now, we don't know for sure whether he was using the poor me excuse, but it seems very possible that he didn't have very much faith and confidence that he would ever get well. 38 years. Can you blame him? We hear a lot today about taking responsibility for your health. Do we really want to be healthy? Then we must live a healthy lifestyle. Eat a diet of healthy food, at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. Choose more whole grains and less processed food. Limit our red meat. Eat more fish. Munch on nuts and popcorn instead of potato chips. And then there's the importance of exercise. All ministers and their spouses in the Reformed Church are encouraged to participate in what is called a wellness program that includes a good diet and exercise. Walking. We wear on our waistband or our belt this little gadget that counts the number of steps that we walk each day. Supposedly, with our good diet and exercise, we will be going to the doctor less often and take fewer pills, and of course it reduces the cost of our health insurance. I'm all for this because our health, in a large part, is our responsibility. But then you know we don't stay with the program. And why don't we do more to keep healthy? Do we really want to be well? Everybody knows about the dangers of smoking and alcohol and drugs and other bad habits, and yet millions of people abuse their bodies by using these substances. And all of us, to some degree, probably do things that are harmful to our health. So it's not just a matter of knowing what is good or not have the correct information. It's a matter of our will, our wanting to do it. Do we want to be well? It's up to us. But there's something that bothers me about this approach of wellness. I mentioned that I pursued a number of sermons on this text, but I want to give credit this morning to a preacher by the name of Will Willimon, who is a Methodist preacher who is currently a professor at Duke Divinity School. He helped me understand my discomfort when health is portrayed as simply a matter of eating well and exercising and practicing good habits and washing our hands often and so forth. It's all up to us. We have moralized our health. We act as if we can just summon up all of our willpower and do all the right things and we will never get sick. I see a problem in that. I would have a lot of problems when visiting someone in the hospital and started asking what they might have done to get themselves sick. Nor would I ask, do you want to be made well? Not only is the poor person afflicted with an infection or a tumor or cancer, but now the person has to feel guilty that he or she did something bad that caused his or her illness. Once it was believed that demons caused illness. Now it's all caused by us. And I do hear people say, why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Why is God allowing this to happen to me? I've been at many graduation ceremonies in which the speaker tells the graduates, you can achieve anything you dare to dream. If you just set your mind to it and do the right things, you can accomplish anything you want. Now, I do believe that dreams have power, and that there is much in our lives that is our responsibility, and that a positive attitude helps. But I also think that you're setting up young people and ourselves for some great disappointments if you tell them that all they have to do is dare to dream a dream, and that the dreams will automatically come true, that everything will work out well. When Jesus asked, do you want to be made well? We might have expected the man at last to throw off his rags and jump up and say, yes, yes, I have last overcome my mental block to be healed and I'm ready to be well. I'm going to be well. But I don't hear that in this gospel story about the benefits of having a positive attitude or doing the right things. It doesn't seem to promote self-help. Nothing this man says or does seems to be a precondition for his healing. It's all Jesus. He doesn't have a good attitude. In fact, he appears to be a whiner and a complainer. He's a loser. He doesn't seem to try very hard to help himself. But Jesus stops to help him anyway and heals him. I think that the healing of this man at the pool is something more like an undeserved, unearned gift of God. And by the way, I don't think there's any basis to say, well, maybe this man had a right attitude in his heart, or that he had faith in Jesus but just didn't express it. There are some healing stories in the Bible when it does seem as if someone is healed because of their strong faith. Jesus said to a woman whom he healed, "Your faith has made you well." But this man doesn't seem to show any evidence of faith, even after he's healed. In fact, when we read further in this text, a crowd gathers to criticize Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. And this man who is healed seems to express no gratitude or loyalty to Jesus. When questioned, he responds, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" To avoid any trouble for himself, he puts the blame on Jesus. This man is not only a whiner, "Nobody helps me get into the pool in time," but he's also a snitch. "That man Jesus over there, he's the one who broke the Sabbath rules." When I hear this story, I do feel sorry for this man who was crippled for most of his life. Imagine his loneliness. He didn't have anybody to put him in the pool. Imagine his feeling of rejection from those who believe that people who were blind or crippled or paralyzed were so because of some sin they committed. I have to tell you that this man doesn't seem to be a very nice man, a person of strong faith. And yet this man is healed by Jesus. As Jesus said at another time, "Our gracious Heavenly Father causes the sun to shine on the righteous and on the unrighteous." He also said at another time, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." I do believe that we have a responsibility to practice healthy habits and do what we can to stay well. I want to acknowledge some of the insights that several of you in the congregation have shared with me about healing and wellness, something about your experience. It's not just a matter of eating a healthy diet or exercising. Our wellness is also related to our relationship with God, following God's commandments and forgiving one another and trusting that God loves and cares for us. That's all part of our wellness. And prayer works. There is a common connection between our spiritual life and our physical well-being and our mental health. But this story today is not so much about what we should do or what we can do to be well, but about what Jesus can do for us. It tells us about an amazing grace that shines upon people in need, whether or not they are deserving of that healing. Now, we would rather that good things happen mostly to good people. We would like to believe that it is our faith that ensures God's help and healing in our time of need. But don't look for that in this story. This man is not asked to have faith. He is not asked to take more responsibility or to try harder or to rally his inner resources. Rather, he simply receives a gift of undeserving grace and love from Jesus. That's why the gospel is good news. It is not about wellness programs to keep us healthy or using correct techniques for healing ourselves. This is simply about God coming to sinners, the undeserving, even those who don't know they are in need, those who haven't the vaguest idea about how to help themselves. We call it grace. We call it good news. Do you want to be made well? Whether you do or you don't, the good news is that God comes among us in the presence of the loving Christ Jesus to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Let us now profess what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. The words are printed at number 15 in the hymn book. You may stand as we profess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.